I can tell you that at the age of 18, I, together with two other Jewish young people, created a reserve, a police reserve of 800 Jews who entered the police force. And we were the three leaders, and it prevented more pogroms. Then came the communists, and I learned my great lesson. And I learned that you can't trust them in 1919. They haven't changed. It's a very interesting story. It took me 9 months to get to Palestine. I left on Pesach, I arrived at Hanukkah. Two of us were killed, two of us survived. We came. And I must say to you that Palestine, Israel, Palestine at that time, revealed the great strength that we Jews possess. See? In Jitomir, I got only indications of it, but it was not clearly revealing. But Palestine revealed the great strength. And what are this great strength? The character, if you ask me, that we Jews are pioneers, never mind our age, we are pioneers, that we Jews are fighters, and that we Jews are creators. You know what I did when I came to Haifa, to Hedera? I was very young. I climbed the trees, the eucalyptus trees, to the top. And there are the best seeds are on the top of the tree. And I cut those branches, threw them down. And at that time, we bought the Amec. And the Amec was full of swamps. And they needed seeds for eucalyptus trees to drain the swamps. They bought my seeds. I have a big share, the whole eucalyptus and the Amec. I have a share in them. It's a wonderful feeling, believe me. But I saw at that time was an attack from the next neighbors, the Arabs. 4,000 Arabs came to attack Hedera, 1920. 4,000. We were 400. We fought off the 4,000. They came already with the women were carrying the bags to take the loot. Yeah, we lost a few people. We lost a few houses, but they didn't get us. We not only knew how to pioneer on the land, we knew how to fight. And it became second nature. And the Jews knew it before I came to Palestine. They already knew it from the time of the Bilu, from the time of the second Aliyah. I came with Trumpeldor at the third Aliyah. They knew it before. I came already to a self-understood attitude of Jews, how to behave. And they were great pioneers in agriculture, or in road building, or in whatever it was building. They were great fighters. They didn't make a tzimis about it, didn't make a fuss about it, it was so easy. And then we proved ourselves as creators. I don't know another people that revived the language. I don't know. I had great friends in Ireland when I studied in England. And I came to Dublin, and I saw signs. And I asked them, what is that sign? They said to me, this means that we can, you can speak to me in Gaelic. I said to myself, here the Irish live in Ireland. They never left the land. They have to wear a sign that they can speak Gaelic. We Jews have been away from that land for 2,000 years and didn't speak it. And we don't wear signs. We speak Hebrew without any signs. We revive a language and to become so creative in it. That's some creative effort. But remember what I told you, the task is to perfect the world. After 2,000 years, we somehow had the strength to come back, to pioneer, to fight, and to work in this direction to perfect the world. This is how the first kibbutzah appeared in Dagania, the kibbutzim that came later, the great man who expressed the ideology of this whole movement, A.D. Gordon, you see, this was to perfect the world, to find ways, new ways of living, new ways of relationship between man and man, new ways of relationship between man and nature, and not without success. I felt that this idea of the Takein Olam is alive. It's not just in the prayer of Aleinu. It is deep, deep, deep in our hearts, in our minds, in our psychic makeup. Then I came to America. And I was in my famous encounter with the Justice Louis D. Brandeis. And I, for the first time, was confronted with his dictum. To be good Americans, we must be better Jews. That's something. In other words, you want to be a good man, a real good man? Before you can be a good man, you have to be a better Jew. And if you do not become that good Jew, that better Jew, you will never be a good man or a good American. This was Louis D. Brandeis. I must say I was very much impressed with him. I was very much impressed with the dictum. And you know what happened, I don't have to tell you. You know what happened. He got me into this work. I was as far removed from it as only possible. I was connected with a technical high school that I pioneered in Israel, modeled after the Brooklyn Technical High. Today you have 25 technical high schools in Israel. I pioneered a nautical school, training Jews for the sea. I don't want to go into it. But this was where my interests lay. But here came a great man. The war broke out. I was stuck here. He said, why don't you do something for the young American Jew? And this is how it all started. You know what we have been trying to do all the time? We've been trying just to find out how to do it. To be good Americans, you must be better Jews. That's all what I've been doing here for 28 years. How to do it. I believe you are witnesses that we have not failed. We have not failed. Many things we don't know, but there are a good many things that we have learned and know. But what about the tomorrow? What about the future? If you ask me, I see tzoras. I am not so optimistic. In my opinion, difficult times are ahead of us. In my opinion, what was before is very lovely and easy and comfortable. And what we are heading for is tough and hard. And unless we know how to behave and how to take it, we may be in trouble. It's my conviction. There has been recently published a report by Doris Sherry, the ADL. Hope you saw it in the papers. If you haven't seen it, to make your business to see it. This is a study to find out about prejudice. And what did they find out? That prejudice is deeply rooted in the United States. Over a third of the population is anti-Semitic. The majority of the other two-thirds are marked by apathy. Overt anti-Jewish discrimination is low, but negative attitudes remain deeply ingrained and widely accepted. My opinion is a report that every one of us should take the trouble to read it and study it. The book will appear soon, but it appeared in the press. Sociologist says here used three criteria for the continued viability of anti-Semitism. The acceptance of anti-Semitic beliefs and stereotypes, the acceptance of social club discrimination, and the acceptance of political anti-Semitism. I'll tell you more about it, but there's no time for it. You all read in a column by Drew Pearson about the thriving neo-Nazi group which seeks to overthrow the United States. And they spent $850,000 lobbying campaign on Capitol Hill, electing senators, electing this. There's a very interesting study in the commentary by Milton Himmelfarb, is American Jewry in crisis? Very open connection with the Negro, connection with the problems facing us today, a very thorough study, worth looking into it. I have great respect for Eric Hoffer, very great respect. And he's more outspoken and more honest and more perceptive than many Jews and most non-Jews. And he speaks of Israel. And he says, Israel is not allowed to act and react like any other nation. No, not allowed. It is expected to be forbearing, long-suffering, in the face of provocations no other country would dream of tolerating. No? For the Jews, he says, the dark ages are not a thing of the past, buried under strata of centuries, but a virulent plague, momentarily dormant, which may come to life in any country, any day. And I tell you that this man has more perception than many people that I know in this land. But where is the answer? So what to do about it? Okay, this is all. What? Then my answer is very simple. We must be pioneers. We must be fighters. We must be creators. Same thing that the Jews in Israel. Same thing that Jews help them survive. And without it, it will not go. It will not work. And when I say pioneers, means we have to pioneer things. And you have to start again with what we had in the past. The home comes first. The home. If you will not succeed in creating again a modern American Jewish home, everything will break down. Everything will break down. If you really are concerned, what my Zaydi says, a hartaich. If it's a hartaich, then every one of us has to ask himself the question, what to do about it? Can be done. I am convinced that we must know Hebrew. And when I say we, I mean you as well as your children. I'm convinced that if you make up your mind that you are going to learn Hebrew, in a few years you will know Hebrew. And you travel to Israel. And if you want to very much, you spend a little more time in Israel and you pick it up. I regard this of paramount importance. No? This is one of the greatest weapons for our survival. Because we will not survive unless we pioneer. And this is the area of pioneering, the home and the Hebrew and the relation to Israel, which Hebrew will enable us, you see. And there is no reason in the world. If anybody tells me I'm very busy, I don't believe it. But you have to make up your mind. It's a hartaich. You are concerned, every one of you, no? I tell you that you should, unless you know Hebrew and can read the Psalms in Hebrew, you will see what a different outlook you will get on life. And the translation, the best of them, is like kissing a girl through a handkerchief. Sometimes through a towel, through a heavy towel. If you don't mind kissing girls with towels, bless you, go ahead, kiss them. But those of us who know what it tastes like kissing a girl, I'm telling you the same is true of Hebrew. Same is true of Hebrew. See, in my opinion, you know, I sometimes get sad. Here we are people 4,000 years old, created one of the greatest cultures in the world, and we ourselves are ignorant of it. We cannot afford it. Now I come to Jewish education. In my opinion, we are bankrupt. I don't mind your telling it to everybody. I don't mind. My personal view. I think we are bankrupt. Sunday school is bankrupt. The Hebrew school is bankrupt. There are a few islands. Few day schools islands, few Lubavitcher Rebbe islands. But they are not for the majority of our people. They are not adjusted to the majority of our Jewish American people. Hence, we must put our minds, what kind of Jewish education? Now here I come to a point. In my opinion, our trouble is our Jewish lay leaders. It is the lay leaders that determine all these things, not the rabbis, not the Jewish educators. No, they can be blamed, but they don't determine. Determine is the Jewish lay leaders. In 28 years, I've been receiving college students here in Brandeis. They were 70% didn't know how to read Hebrew 28 years ago. They're 65 to 70% today. It hasn't changed. Read every. Now, in my opinion, it is the lay leader. Usually, whom do we look for a leader? The man who has the big checking account. He becomes a leader, he gets all the COVID, he gets all this. As a result, it doesn't work. We have to create a new Jewish leader, lay leader. How? This is the reason that I suggested that we build a prep school, an academy. If you look up who's who, in America you'll find 25% of who's who mentioned there come from prep schools. They provide an enormous percentage of lay leaders. I firmly believe that we are heading for a time when Jews will be looking for places to send their children and they will bypass the public schools. Remember my words. But the Jews will find now, with what's going on in the country, that their children are not getting the education that they want them to get. And you will see, you will remember my words. I may not be around. There will be an extraordinary growth of special private schools. In my opinion, and old people like ours, with a great culture of our own, should have an ambition to show that you can give a great education, and with Judaism being the core of the humanities. Most of the schools that you have, Christianity is the core of the humanities. Don't you kid yourself that they are neutral or this or that. They are not. Shouldn't we have at least a couple of schools where Judaism is the core of the humanities? They should train for Harvard and for Yale and for Berkeley and for all this, but they should be rooted in their own culture, open to all Jew and non-Jew if they want to. But where our kids, before they come to college, will be ours and deeply rooted. And there will be the lay leaders. They may be doctors and lawyers and engineers and businessmen. It matters little. They'll be rooted. In my opinion, this is one of our great tasks, to create such a place. And next comes, in my opinion, what many top leaders are aware today, you must have in every great university a Hebrew department, a Jewish culture department. And there are beautiful articles by non-Jews who prove and show that if the kid comes to the college and Judaism doesn't play any part and Hebrew doesn't play any part, so he said, what I learned in that Hebrew school. It is to lift it up. Never mind that not many will attend. I don't care. But I say to myself, the kid must feel that Judaism and Hebrew culture is on par with the other cultures. The Christians have done their best for 2,000 years to minimize our cultural achievements. Minimize. You'll hardly find Maimonides taught in the philosophy. Hardly. Yes, Spinoza, that you'll find. Because he was ostracized. That's why they have him. You see. Maimonides? No. My opinion, Israel must play a much more important part in our lives than it's playing, and I don't mean financial help, which is great and which we need to give it. I mean that it must be the goal of every one of us, the goal that our children spend at least a year there. And don't send them for bar mitzvah if you want to take my advice. You are wasting your money and your efforts. They are too young for it to grasp it. You see, you send them when they are in college. You send them when they finished high school. Send them for a year. Don't think it's a waste of time. It is an extraordinary enrichment of a human being. He will be a much better human being, better American, if he spends at least a year. 2 years, even better. And every one of us should get our tie with Israel. And by tie, I don't mean running around the country and staying in the hotels. By tie, I mean digging into that thing called Israel and grasping what it is and preparing ourselves for it and reading up many things. You see, we must create a very close tie with Israel if we want to survive as Jews. In my opinion, there is a home, number one. There is the Hebrew language that we must learn it even here. There is a school in the Hebrew Jewish education, and there is Israel and the tie with Israel. And let me finish up by telling you where my opinion is the task of Brandeis in this whole picture. I believe I'm not exaggerating if I say to you, Brandeis has proven its validity. But on what scale? On a laboratory scale. On a laboratory scale, you cannot help 5 million Jews. Hence, you need 10 Brandeis camps. Why do you need 10, in my opinion, to start with? Because 90% of our Jewish people live in 10 communities, in 10 urban communities. This is where 90% of the Jews in America live. Hence, you need one. And you need it like ours, with all the ages, college, adult, children, all ages. You know what it did to you. Imagine if it did this to 1 million people. Imagine. That we would have a different, that this will lead them into many things. Many of you became interested in the various things I'm talking about via your first kind of introducing you through a 40-hour institute, no? Or my BCR is a 4-week institute, you see? And I have proof of really hundreds of documents and letters that prove how it affected the life of the person, not only the Jewish life. No, the most remarkable achievement of Brandeis that I never dreamt is that it affects the individual. The individual. See, I have so many letters who speak in terms of, I feel I'm vital, I feel vitality, I feel strength. I'm so joyous, I'm full of joy. I want to do things. No? I tell you that it affects the choice of mate. They learn much more what kind of a girl they want. I could go on. Pure human qualities and values come as a result. And it's very clear to me. Once you accept yourself, once you are at ease with yourself, bring out what you have. Many kids write to me, I'm now operating on 10 cylinders. Before I operated on 4. You see, they use this kind of language, you see, but it all means the same thing. In summarizing, I think it is our task and duty to recognize our position and, like our forefathers, to turn disadvantage into advantage. And I say to you, we may be heading for hard times. And therefore, it's very, very important that we develop that inner strength in us, that we can face it. We are not afraid. We have a task in life. We have a purpose in life. and we'll carry it out.